pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
No more of this delay and hesitation. No more of this fear ruling your life. It's time to rise up to who you actually are.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series titled, God Used Who? And you may just be surprised, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
We're not in a culture where everybody's going to church and everybody's thinking like a Christian. No, we got this pluralistic culture, and you feel the clash of that all the time. So the book of Judges is relevant for us. These judges, these warrior, redeemer, saviors function over about a 300-year period during a time of much rebellion amongst the people of God. So in other words, the book of Judges is a collection of historical stories and narratives about the ways that God raised up deliverers who would save an undeserving people from the consequences of their sin. That sound familiar? It's stories of how God would raise up often unlikely saviors to redeem the people so that they would not ultimately suffer the full demise of their sin. In that sense, it's the story of the gospel. Now, Deborah is distinct from other judges, and she's fascinating because several reasons. First place, she's a woman, and Deborah's a prophetess, and she gets words from the Lord, and people knew that she was intimate with God, and they knew that she had wisdom and discernment. I think she got words of knowledge and wisdom and encouraging prophecies and clarity, and she counseled, and people came, and she was a leader. She was the magistrate. She was the one who was leading at the time, and she is she references herself as a mother of Israel. If we looked over into Judges chapter 5, you'll see that after the defeat of Sisera, Deborah begins to sing a song unto the Lord. And I love this at verse 7, she says, as she's singing, the villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. She was a spiritual mother. A mother is someone who nourishes and someone who might seem at one moment quiet, but you try to interfere with her children and she becomes a she-bear protecting her cubs. And I've seen some women who you might think were just quiet and weak, but you get them into motherhood and everything changes. It's amazing what happens when a woman becomes a mother. And a mother is the one who holds the family in her heart as she once did in her womb. And in this sense, a mother cannot rest if the children are not okay. Deborah was a mother in Israel. We had our future in-laws with us for the weekend. How fun and strange and odd. I can't even believe that this is happening. Our son's getting married in June, and his fiance and her parents stayed with us over the weekend. We had a great time. We like them. We love them. We enjoy them. But you ought to see my wife when she's got people in the house. She is a mother, and she doesn't sit down. She doesn't stop. Everything that is on her mind is, are the guests okay? Do they have what they need? Is everybody all right? That's who the mother is. The mother seeks out the hurting child. She's a life giver, a protector, a comforter, and a nourisher. And that's who Deborah was. She is also a prophetess. She got words from the Lord. And so what was different about Deborah was she did not rule out of brute force like a Samson or something. She led because of wisdom from God and revelations from God. And part of what the story is about is if you get one word from heaven, then it'll be stronger than the strongest army. And she got a word that it was time for Barak to summon 10,000 troops and to take on Sisera, even though Sisera had 900 chariots of iron. And the reason you keep hearing about the 900 chariots of iron is because Israel didn't have any of this iron equipment. They were slower coming along through the Iron Age, and they didn't have the sophisticated weaponry. So think of it this way. Those chariots were like modern-day tanks and smart missiles, and they were going to go up against the chariots, and the likelihood in the natural of being able to defeat them was very, very slim. But she got a word from the Lord that it was the time, and she spoke on that word. And what happened is that as we read in the Song of Deborah, we don't really learn this until later in the Song of Deborah. I'm going to read a little bit more from chapter 5, verse 12. "Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, break out in song. Arise, Barak, lead away your captives, O son of Abinoam." Down marched the remnant of the noble. The people of the Lord marched down for me against the mighty. And so she goes on singing, kind of retelling the battle. And she comes to verse 19. "The kings came, they fought, then fought the kings of Canaan at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They got no spoils of silver. From heavens the stars fought, from their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon," that's the river, "swept them away, the ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon. March on, my soul, with might." And what scholars recognize that she is describing here is that though it was the dry season, and evidently what happened was that as the battle was about to ensue, the Lord brought this huge rain, and the Kishon River was swelling and overflowing its banks. And what it did was it made all the lowlands really soggy and muddy, and the iron chariots came and were just stuck and mired in the mud. And so the chariots were rendered useless, and the people then were able to fight them. She had a word from the Lord about all this. See, the Lord knows these things. And I remember the story of a physician that years ago, back when telegraph and Morse code were being used as primary communication, and it was a telegraph operator position. It was open, and a number of men had come in and were going to seek to interview for the job, about a dozen of them sitting out in a crowded waiting room. And one man came in kind of late, and then about 3 minutes after sitting there, that man jumped up, went into the office, and a few moments later came out, and the boss said, "Everybody can go home. The job's been filled by this young man." And they all said, "Well, what is going on? Why did he get the job? We didn't even get a chance to interview." And he said, "Well, all while people have been out here talking," he says, "there's been a message being tapped out in Morse code that was saying, whoever comes in the office first after hearing this message will receive the job." It's just who is tuned in to the message, you see. And whole armies can fall if somebody gets one word from the Lord. The name Deborah means bee, like a honey bee. And some of the old ancient fathers of the early church, they like to think of Deborah like a honey bee associated with honey and the honeycomb, because they're reminded of the psalmist who says that the word of the Lord is sweeter than honey, sweeter than the honeycomb. And that might be a stretch to associate her in that way, but she is associated with the word of the Lord. And then what's also unique about Deborah, I just love this about Deborah, is this whole, I won't take time to read all of chapter 5, I read a little bit of it there where she's saying, "The villagers ceased in Israel, they ceased until I arose, I, Deborah." And she's able to not only sing a song of celebration to the Lord, but she celebrates that God has used her. Let me just say, I just so wish that I had understood this much earlier in my life. what pride is, what humility is, and what they are not. And let's just say that pride is when you think that all these good things in your life have been generated by you, and you have no acknowledgement of what God has done. But there is a way in which, as Christians, we can fall into this false humility in which we can't even celebrate that God has made us fearfully and wonderfully and given us gifts and uses us in such wonderful, wonderful ways. And Deborah didn't have that problem. My wife is it's just fun being in the house with her because she feels so good about herself. Our son is applying to law schools, and he's getting accepted to prestigious schools. And every time he'd email us and say, I got an accepted so-and-so, I got a scholarship so-and-so. And Ann, she homeschooled Bennett all the way through, right? And so when she gets the email, this is what she texts, or text. She'll text back and she'll say, I did it. I got into such and such school. I got into another one. And we're like, okay, we're giving you the credit. And it's okay to celebrate like Deborah and realize that she was a mother in Israel and God used her in this wonderful way. She's a wonderful person. And one of the things that's remarkable about Deborah, sets her apart from all the other judges, there's nothing negative that's ever spoken of Deborah. This is not a negative word. Now, she's a human being, and there's got to be something wrong with her, but you just can't, kind of like Karen Revis, there's got to be something wrong, you just don't know what it is. You can't find anything.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
God's love, you've heard about it with your ears. You've believed it in your mind. Now experience it in your heart with Alan Wright's beloved book, Lover of My Soul. The Bible is a love story from beginning to end. You are the spiritual bride of Christ, the perfect bridegroom. The Bible tells about a God who has gone to unimaginable lengths to woo you, to win you, and to walk with you hand in hand. For any man who has fallen in love with a woman, you've tasted the sweetness of what God's love for you is like. For any woman who has searched for true love, what you long for can only be found fully in God. Gary Chapman, renowned author of the 5 Love Languages, says, "The incredible reality that God pursues us in love comes to life in Lover of My Soul. Ancient biblical accounts explode in the heart. Accept Christ's proposal, enjoy his embrace, revel in his love. After all, it's a match made in heaven." It's Lover of My Soul by Alan Wright. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Contrasted with Barak, who comes across at first like Big Sissy. And interestingly, his name means lightning, but he's the opposite of lightning. He's not fast and electric and powerful. He's like, well, I'll go, but only if you'll go with me. What is so fascinating about this, though, is that when you get to Hebrews 11 and you read this famous list of the heroes of the faith, you'll come to verse 32 of Hebrews 11, where we read, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight." Do you see that? Barak is listed here amongst Samson and David and Samuel and the prophets. There's been a lot of discussion as to why Deborah's not listed rather than Barak. But the fact of the matter is, this is what faith is. He got a word from the Lord and he acted on it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? And whether Barak was afraid or not, in the end didn't matter, because what faith is acting on a word of the Lord, right? And so he's listed in Hebrews 11 as one of the great people of faith. So where do you find yourself in a story like this? Well, I don't really identify with Deborah. She's too wonderful and flawless, but I could identify with Barak. Who couldn't? Where you've got a battle to fight, and it seems ominous and bigger than who you are, but at some point you get a word from God, a reassurance. That in the midst of a pluralistic and pagan society, when you don't have faith or courage, but you get into the Word of God and something happens and is quickened on the inside of you. There was a reason that Barak wanted Deborah to go with him, and it wasn't because she was going to fight. She never does fight. She never lifts a sword. But instead, she is the representative of the revelation of God. I think Barak is something like Moses when he said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send me." He does not want to go without the meditation upon the word of the Lord. And sometimes all you need are just the promises of God. And it's not just his word and his promises, but it's God himself that goes. He's saying, "I don't just want to go on this word. I want the one who brought the word to come and go with me." You have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You have, believers, the mind of Christ. You have not just a prophetess that walks along with you. You have Christ. Ephesians says you have become the dwelling place of God himself, the creator of the ends of the earth, who knows all mysteries, whose knowledge is unlimited and whose power is unfathomable. And that God lives inside of you. This is how you move forward. The battle belongs to the Lord. So the rains come, the chariots are mired in the mud, and Barak defeats the armies of Sisera, and Sisera's destroyed at the hands of another woman, just as Deborah had prophesied. And in the midst of all of this, I hear the word of the Lord to us, a beautiful word that comes in verse 14 of Judges chapter 4. Deborah has called Barak up. She has prophesied to him. She has instructed him. And she has promised to go with him. And then at verse 14, "And Deborah said to Barak, 'Up! For this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?'" And I think it's a word for us. It's a word for somebody here. For somebody under the sound of my voice, it's the word of the Lord to you. Up! Up! Today is the day. To say this is, on the one hand, to say, wake up. She's the mother of Israel, and she's like one who wakes up a child in the morning. You know, wake up. I don't want to get up right now. Wake up. There's five more minutes. Wake up! There's something in front of you very important. There's a way in which God's present to wake up your inmost being. Wake up. And when God says up, there's power in the command. Let him speak to your spirit that slumbers. Wake up. Have you ever experienced that before? Where it's like, I just saw something inside of me was just asleep. It happens to me sometimes. I'll come and I feel like I'm under that heaviness. It's like I'm sleepy on the inside. And then I'll get a group of people with me to start praying. Or we come in and we start singing unto the Lord, and something inside of me wakes up. You ever felt that? Wake up. Wake up to the goodness of God. Wake up to the plans of God. Wake up. Arise, shine. Your light has come. But it is also to say, rise up.
Rise up, Barak, to who you are. No more of this delay and hesitation. No more of this fear ruling your life. It's time to rise up to who you actually are. Up! You ever had somebody in your life that's just spoken to you like that? It's just going to be so, so simple. I'm transferring contents of a safe deposit box to a new location, and I pull out all this stuff, too much stuff in there, and stuff that's like, why is this even in here? And the stuff that my wife had stuffed in there and everything. And I pulled out one of them, and it was what we called a blue book at the University of North Carolina. It was an exam I took. I didn't know I'd been saved, but it was from a professor my freshman year who had written on the cover of the blue book, "Alan, why are you so quiet in class? Anybody that could write an exam like this ought to speak up more. We need to hear what you have to say." Shy kid from a broken family, didn't feel like he even belonged in that class, is told by a professor, "Up! Rise up. Wake up. Rise up." It's like to say, move up to a new place. You have a destiny. And so it was that Barak got up, followed the word of the Lord. Deborah went with him. And the headship of evil was crushed. And chapter 4 adds this line, and there were 40 years of peace. Deborah, a judge of Israel, a mother of Israel, a prophetess in the land, who in the end points us to the true deliverer and Savior, Jesus himself, who again today smiles at you and says, "Up, for the battle belongs to the Lord." And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright. And there's a word there, peace, that jumps out. It's part of today's teaching on Deborah from the teaching, God Used Who. And Alan is back here in the studio in a moment with additional insight on this for your life and a final word.
God's love. You've heard about it with your ears. You've believed it in your mind. Now experience it in your heart with Alan Wright's beloved book, Lover of My Soul. The Bible is a love story from beginning to end. You are the spiritual bride of Christ, the perfect bridegroom. The Bible tells about a God who has gone to unimaginable lengths to woo you, to win you, and to walk with you hand in hand. For any man who has fallen in love with a woman, you've tasted the sweetness of what God's love for you is like. For any woman who has searched for true love, what you long for can only be found fully in God. Gary Chapman, renowned author of the 5 Love Languages, says, "The incredible reality that God pursues us in love comes to life in Lover of My Soul. Ancient biblical accounts explode in the heart. Accept Christ's proposal, enjoy his embrace, revel in his love. After all, it's a match made in heaven." It's Lover of My Soul by Alan Wright. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Alan, somebody's listening right now, and maybe that word peace has really jumped out to them, and this is their prayer, their hope, but maybe today something has changed, and it's something they want to claim. They say, you know, I'm claiming the peace that is promised.
Right. Well, I think you hear en route to that peace, you hear a word from the Lord that is the word that Deborah brought to Barak. Up. I mean, it's something in your spirit to wake up, to rise up, to move up. It is, you know, sometimes when you hear a word from the Lord like that, if you can hear it down in your heart, it empowers you. And I think that's it's like there is a way in which God is calling you up, and you might have fear that you can't do it, but the word of the Lord goes with you.
Yeah.
And in facing perhaps the difficulty you need to face, there's going to be peace, amazing peace, on the other side.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production. of Alan Wright Ministries.